Let's open up our Bibles to Genesis 22. Starting with the first verse. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most people know the events of this 22nd chapter of Genesis, where it's talking about Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham taking his son Isaac to Mount Moriah because the Lord so told him to sacrifice his son. Let's start in verse 1. Actually, let's start up in the 21st verse and 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come unto you again. Now notice there in the fifth verse, something that many years I've read this scripture many times. Abraham told the two men, his two servants that he brought with him, Behold, I and the lad will come again. Not just Abraham. Behold, both of us shall come and return to you. And he also said they were going to worship. Verse 6, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now Isaac knew about burnt offerings, and he knew about the sacrifices, and that God required a sacrifice, and he asked for this sacrifice burnt offering. He knew that there had to be a lamb. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself with a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of wood. Now, you don't see anything there about Isaac fighting with his father Abraham. He trusted his father. He bound him, put him down. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He probably knew all the way going up the mountain. He kept thinking in his mind what was going to happen. He knew that there had to be a burnt offering. And when he's being bound, he knew that he was that burnt offering. He knew that he was the one that was supposed to be sacrificed. And he did not fight his father. He believed his father. I don't know the conversation. He may have asked his father, many things on the way up, and I guarantee you, if he was asked, Abraham said, just believe God. God told me to do something. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to do it. Now, you believe God, what he has promised, that many a seed shall be planted in you, that the Savior shall come from you. There are many nations. The nation of Israel will be through His Son. And Abraham stretched forth in verse 10 his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. The subject of this message is believing God. Now, Abraham was told of the Lord to take his son, to sacrifice him. Now, what great faith did Abraham have to willingly? He got up the next morning. He didn't hesitate. He didn't question it. He got up and took his son. He didn't hesitate. The Lord commanded him to do something. And he did it because he believed God. It wasn't that he believed in God. He believed God would do exactly what he said he was going to do. He believed that Isaac was the seed, and many nations were going to be brought forth from him. And he knew that no matter what happened, if he was going to kill his son, the Lord had the power to bring him even from death. He was more than willing to sacrifice his son. He had that knife up in the air, ready to kill his own son. What great faith is that? Do you or I have that kind of faith? Must it be given to us of God? We don't have that faith. You think Abraham wanted to take his son? That son that he waited for so many years? Just that he had a son was a miracle. If we go back two or three chapters, it talks about Sarah. You know, he said, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a seed. Because there had only been one born in his household, and that was of a servant. He said, well, this is going to be my heir. Is this who my seed is going to be? Is this how many nations are going to come through? He said, no. No, Abraham. Your son, someone from your own bowels, will be that seed. And that was Isaac. And even Sarah tried to tempt Abraham, and then actually did tempt Abraham. And he went and slept with his servant, her maidservant, Hagar, and had Ishmael. But that wasn't the seed. That son was cast out. That was like the one, the two vessels that the Lord one creates unto honor and one to dishonor. The one was out of human works. Well, God must have meant that seed will come from Hagar, because I'm so old, I am past the age of childbearing. So he must have meant Hagar. They did with their hands, their works, and that was cast out. This account of Abraham and Isaac is very well known by any religious person you talk to. Will be able to tell you exactly, oh yeah, I know that story. I know that story. And many will even say, oh, it's a representation of Christ to come. And it is. It's a very clear picture of Christ. But they won't believe that God set this forth. All these things were set forth into motion that one day Christ would come from this seed. And He gave Abraham this great faith to believe that God would do exactly what He said He was going to do. And that's what we need. That's what we have to have. We have to believe that God will do everything He set forth in time past. Many will believe, the Jews believe that Christ, they believe in Christ. They just don't believe that when Jesus was here that He was the Christ. They were looking for something with pomp and circumstance. They wanted to see something, somebody come that was high and mighty and stuff like that, not a lowly carpenter's son. Because God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. But even though many people know about this story, it's not a story, it's a history. They don't know the whole truth about this scripture or any of this other scripture, any scripture in this Bible. They take bits and pieces of it, and they believe pieces and parts, but they don't believe the whole word. This Bible didn't exist in Abraham's day. They were only going from Revelation and things that were written down by, you know, actually probably not even written down, just word of mouth from Noah's days. If there was any kind of script, wasn't anything like this. We have this entire book to research and go back and forth. They simply believed God in visions and prophecy. They believed Him at His word. And they believed what His servants had told them. People that He'd blessed with the knowledge of Christ, of God. If you ask most religious people, they'll say that this is a true depiction of Christ, Christ to come. And others will praise Abraham for his faith. And yes, that was great faith that he had. Great faith. I couldn't take my son, not humanly speaking. There's no way that I could take my son and sacrifice him unless God intervened. I can't. I love that boy. I couldn't take him. You here that have sons or daughters or anything, could you take your child and sacrifice them? Let's be honest. Could you? We'd all say no. No way. But Abraham willingly got up. Did not hesitate. Went to that mount where God told him, knowing full well what he was going there to do. Now, you'll attribute, say he had such great faith. Boy, Abraham was a great man. Yes, he was a great man. He had great faith. But that faith wasn't his faith. That was God's faith. God gave it to him when he needed it. You can just go through Genesis and see how many times Abraham was not this great and faithful man. I mean, when he took Hagar and conceived a child with Hagar, was he being faithful to what God promised him? So it's clear that he was a sinful man, just like you and I, sinful people. This God granted him this faith when he needed it. Now you know that he waited 900 and some years to have a child, and he was going to take this child and sacrifice him. You don't think his heart was heavy? But God granted him faith. God gave him faith. And that's the only thing that will save any one of us. It's the only thing that will keep us. And you notice that we'll have days where we're going to get so low, we're just going to go to our sinful lusts and desires, and that's what we're going to go toward. And we need to have the Lord do something for us all the time. He doesn't do something for us once, and then we have it for the rest of our lives. If you're saved, yes, you're, you know, once saved, always saved. But not every day you're going to be faithful. You need to constantly, when I do as well, I'm not saying this just to you, I'm saying this to myself. When I prepare a message, I'm really preparing a message to myself. That's how I know if I feel that I need it, I feel you all probably need it too. Because that's where my heart is. I'm not faithful enough, not daily, not in the moment. What do you attribute the faith that Abraham had? And without exception, every attribute of a good thing that we have on this earth can be attributed back to God. All things. All things we do that are good, all things that we do that are pleasing to Him, are because we believe Him, and only because of the faith that He gives us by His grace will we do that. He granted us this Word of God, the power of God unto salvation. And every once in a while, it gives us a piece of morsel of understanding, and that keeps us. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it says, "For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, people were amazed at what Abraham did. But it's not so amazing when you figure out where it came from. It came from God. Abraham was only fulfilling that which God had already ordained and predestined to happen. He was just setting into motion what God had already foreordained to happen. So who gets the glory? Abraham for doing what had already been preordained, or God, who in His majesty proclaimed all these things to happen before the world ever began? Everything that happens, if you look in Scripture, can be brought back to God. And it's all for His glory and His honor. Abraham was simply the vessel in which God used to foreshadow His Son's coming. Abraham did this because God granted him the faith necessary to do this. And it was great faith. And oh, how precious is the faith that God gives to His children when they need it. Now, there's many of us in here that have had some hard times in our lives. When you look to Christ, He gives you peace. He gives you that rest. And this was a great time of need for Abraham. And God granted him great faith to take him through a great and tumultuous time. Let's look at three questions and see why some of this stuff that happened in this book came about. Why did Abraham take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah? Why was he willing to sacrifice his only son? How did he know that his son would be returning with him? He took his son to Mount Moriah and he sacrificed, was going to sacrifice him because God had ordered him to do so. You need no more than be asked to do something by God than you should do it. In the New Testament, it tells us to bow to Him because He is Lord. That's enough that He had ordered that. He had ordered Abraham to do this, and that was enough for Abraham. He said, "I will do this." And he sacrificed his son, knowing full well that the Lord had power over all things that were going to happen. He knew that it was promised that Isaac was going to be a seed of many nations. And he knew that this was going to happen. He believed God at His word. And he knew that God had power even unto death. He knew if he killed his son, that the Lord would bring him back, would resurrect him. He knew. That's why he told those young men with him that helped him bring all the wood and whatnot to that mountain. That's why he said, "We'll both return." He had confidence that God was going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. And you notice that Abraham did not hesitate. Not for a second. He knew and believed in his heart. And that's the thing. You can say you believe, but the Lord looks in the heart. He knows if you believe in your heart. Now, Abraham was, guarantee you, long was suffering that whole trip. I don't know how far of a journey it was, But every step he took, I know what he was thinking. I'm going to have to kill my son. Imagine what God said when he said, I have to kill my son on that cross. In order to allow myself to be just and justified, I have to kill my son. That person that I am well pleased in. That person that has fulfilled my law. That person that can have communed with me. That was my equal. Imagine what God felt sacrificing his son. Imagine what Abraham's thinking as he's taking his journey. And he knew that his son was going to return with him because he knew that that seed, he believed what God promised him. You know, never doubt. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, Abraham knew that the Lord wouldn't let him kill Isaac. He stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 10. There was no doubt. There was no hesitation. A lot of people I've heard pastors say, he knew that God was going to intervene. He knew that he was never going to have to kill his son. In his heart, he thought that he was going to have to kill his son. He didn't know until the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And you want to know someone was very thankful to hear that. He didn't want to do it, but he knew he had to do it. Same way Christ was willing to come from on high down to this world to live among sin, to be sacrificed for a people. He willingly came down. Abraham was willingly going to kill his son because God told him to. But the Lord, angel of the Lord told him, don't lay a hand on him. Because I know now that thou fearest God. And that's the thing about believing God. You fear God. You fear the wrath of God. You fear not pleasing your Savior and your Lord. It's very easy to say, I believe. But if you really believe, if you truly believe, then you care about what your Lord and Savior thinks about you. And the Lord says that everyone on this earth and every day that we're on this earth are unprofitable. And we have no good thing. Our works are as filthy rags. That makes me feel pretty bad. Most of the time it doesn't make me feel bad, and that really makes me sad. But when the Lord shows me that's not the right path, that's not where I should be going, He reveals something to me, I feel bad for what I have done and what I continue to do and what I'll do tomorrow. That's why we need to fear God. Fear His wrath. Fear His judgment. Without this God-given faith, Abraham would have been as others, scoffing at the Word of God and not believing. I mean, just think of how this all came to pass. God had promised Abraham a son through Sarah. She was too old. They were both old. She was unable, humanly speaking. Her womb was dead. She was not able to bear children, humanly speaking. But God had promised him a seed through Sarah. And God made it alive. Made that womb alive and able to bear a son, Isaac. I mean, does this sound familiar? Something that was dead made alive? In Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made alive, together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He makes us alive just as He made that womb alive. Because with God, all things are possible. But it took God. There was nothing Abraham or Sarah could do to make them able to conceive. Not a thing. Even this day and age, with all the scientific breakthroughs and stuff, when a womb is dead, it's dead. But the Lord, who's in control of all things, can make it alive. And that's the way we are. By nature, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We have no possibility whatsoever in and of ourselves to have salvation. None whatsoever. There's nothing we can do. We can do charitable works. We can do nice things for people. We can read Scripture daily. Every hour we can do like the Jews and some of them do on certain days. They just pray constantly for 24 hours a day. Not an ounce of that will bring us any closer to Christ unless Christ first comes to us. My brother Watson said it pretty clear this weekend. Can you come to Christ? Yeah. After He first comes to us. Because we're not going in that direction. We're going by nature as far away from Him as possible. But God will turn us. And only God. By His grace, He will reveal through His Spirit these words are in this Bible. And they're just words. These words I can say and you can read. And unless the Spirit does anything and quickens you, there's nothing in it. But the Lord does bless us. He blesses His children with an understanding. Just a morsel. And that's all it takes is just a morsel. Now how can you doubt what He did to Sarah to make her be able to conceive a son that God doesn't rule and reign? He took something dead and made it alive. Let's close and looking at what it really means to believe God. First and foremost, you must believe that God does rule and He reigns and that He's sovereign. And what is meant by sovereign is He has a right to do His will and after the counsel of His own will, whatever He pleases. It doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter if we think it's right or wrong. Whatever He does is right. Has nothing to do with the will of man. It has to do with His own will. He is the potter. Makes two vessels of clay. One to honor, to be with Him in eternity, and to glorify Him. And another to be chastised in hell through eternity for His sinful nature. The same sinful nature that you and I have. A person in hell that's going to be in hell has the same thing we were born with. Same thing we live with every day. Sinful nature that we have within ourselves. That we were born, where we got from Adam. The only difference being is that Christ chose a people. God chose a people and Christ came to fulfill the covenant that He made with His Father. And by grace, He chose a people. Why can't we believe that? Why can't any of us believe that? Why doesn't everybody believe that? Because it pleased God to hide it from some people. And that's where we're talking about being sovereign. He chose to hide it from some people. People say, oh, God's a God of love. He wouldn't hide it from some. He does. You must be His babes. You understand what it says? I heard a sermon by Maurice Montgomery. It's called Childlike Faith. being childlike. When you're a child, you believe exactly what your parents say. They tell you that the sky is pink or the sky is polka dotted, you believe it. You trust them completely without even thinking. And say, that's the problem with us. We think too much. We don't just believe God at His Word. Like Abraham. If Abraham would have thought about it too much, you think the more he thought about it, the more he would have reasoned, the more he would have reasoned, the more he would have reasoned, and he would have reasoned to try to find any reason whatsoever to not take his son. We've got to quit thinking and just believing. People say, what about man's free will? Don't we have any part in salvation? The only part we have is we're recipients of a free gift. If you want to be left to your free will, you can have your free will if the Lord will let you. And that free will take you straight to hell. It's either God's will or your will. And you don't even have a choice in the fact that He'll let you to your own will. He chooses that. He chooses who He's going to give it to and who He's not going to give it to. People say, that's not fair. It's fair in His eyes. He created us. He created everything that's here. He has a right to do with it as He pleases. That's why the first thing, He's sovereign. That's the one thing I have to always look back at. When something goes wrong or something goes right, God is sovereign. It's for a reason. It's for His reasons. And I need to accept it and believe God. We all must believe in order to have salvation that He is able to do all that He has promised. His Word, the Bible, tells of His promises. It sets forth who He is and what He did. If we don't believe this Word, there's things in here that are very complicated, that are spoken parables and prophecy and stuff that I know one day, by His grace, I'll be with Him. And I'll understand this stuff. But I won't understand it while I'm on this earth. But there are some very clear things in the Bible that are set forth that we have to believe. Not everything in this Word is in prophecy. Not everything has to be interpreted. People say, well, we have a different interpretation. There are certain things in here. None doeth good, no, not one. What interpretation do you need to make of that? Salvation is of Christ and Christ alone. That's the root of the gospel. It's all of Christ. Salvation is of Christ and Christ alone. We must praise and honor Him for what He's done for us. If He's done anything for us. Let's look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not the wisdom of the words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none of effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Right there is what we have to believe. We have to believe that salvation is completely and wholly of Christ. That what He did was enough. That He is sovereign, just as His Father was sovereign. We have to believe that everything was set forth before this world began, that everything that God said He was going to do, He's going to do. Men will ask this, do we not have a choice? No, God chose the people. The only choice we make is because God first chose us. People will say we have nothing to do with our salvation. We are a recipient. Salvation is of the Lord. Our free will has nothing to do with salvation. As I said before, if left to our own free will, we'll go to hell. You have no power in this matter. Simply put, if we don't come to Christ, we don't leave everything in His hands, we'll have nothing. We have to be as that child Maurice Montgomery talked about. Lay everything under the care and concern of your Father that's in heaven. Believe Him no matter how wild it sounds. Because everything that comes from God, we'll not understand. But believe Him. If He said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Do you think the people in Noah's day, when it had never rained, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? What does an ark do? Floats on water. Well, what do you need that for? Because the Lord's going to destroy the world. It's going to rain. It's going to rain a lot. All this ground you see is going to be covered with water. They thought it was foolishness. As the Jews thought it was foolish, still think, most Jews still today think it's foolish that Christ was born of Mary and Joseph. He was a carpenter's son. He wasn't the son of a carpenter. He was the son of God. They don't believe that. Even though many, many times it was prophesied and preached to them that this was going to happen. They preached if John the Baptist was going to come as a precursor. He came. They just feel that he was a prophet. They don't believe that he was the Messiah. Christ saves, Christ alone. Do you believe God? Do I believe God? I doubt all the time. Only by His grace can I come and hear the Word of God, and He refreshes me, refreshes my spirit, and lets me get away from this world for a short time, and shows me that He is Lord, and this world is temporal. Salvation is forever. One day, those that He has chosen will have perfect peace and perfect rest, and will commune with God and praise and honor and glorify Him as He deserves. Many believe in God. Many believe in Christ. Believe that He exists. They don't believe that He has the right and He rules and reigns, and doesn't believe that salvation is all of God. And they don't believe, more importantly, that they're a sinful person needing a Savior. And that's the difference. People won't believe that they have something to do with salvation. They can't just leave it all to Christ. The elect believe God and are made to know their helpless state. They are made to know their utter depravity and need for Christ. And once God brings a poor, hopeless, helpless sinner to that state, then you have some peace. Because you can have peace on this earth. A little bit. The Lord will grant you a morsel. He gives you that faith that Abraham had. Know in your heart that God's going to do exactly what He promised to do. He's going to keep you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to bring trials and troubles to you, but He's not going to bring more on you than you can bear. He set forth a place. There's many mansions in heaven. And He set forth one for each of His elect. It's going to be a place for all of His elect. And He makes you know that. We do not know what will happen to us on this earth. We live day to day. But we believe that we are in His hands and He shall keep us until our appointed time. As I said in the beginning, the subject of the message is believe God. We need to ask that question of ourselves all the time. Do I believe God? Do I trust Him? And the only place where we can get an answer and get any comfort is in this Scripture. And come and hearing men preach the gospel. Men much better at it than I am. I hope and I pray that any of this was any effect to anybody. I hope that God was glorified. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for this day. Lord, I thank Thee for this time to meet together. Lord, I'm thankful for Your grace and Your mercy. And what You did in order to make salvation possible. Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Give us this morsel that we need. Allow us to honor and glorify Thee and praise Thee. Allow us to look to things upon high and not things of this world. Grant us Your grace, Lord. We pray for those that are traveling. Lord, we ask that You bring them back safely if it be Your will. Lord, bring us back Sunday. And allow us to partake of the Word of God and make it effectual. Open our hearts and eyes. We're thankful for Thy grace, and it is sufficient. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.